97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, it starts now. The Jackie Cage Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It starts now. Highlight of the morning so far was something that was so succinct, but yet so aggravating. Was Jamie Lynch in our pre-discussions, other than just being very interested in the Channel 6 news this morning. Jamie Lynch saying, I don't understand sports anymore, and I don't like it. Because honestly, it sort of is so simplistic, and it so summarizes how we begin today. And the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White's here for the pro. It really does sort of sum it up, because I'm somebody who just studies stuff. I want 1 + 1 = 2. I'm a linear thinker. I like practicality. And when I think I understand how something's supposed to work, I expect it to work that way. What I saw last night was honestly one of the crappiest moments I've ever had as a sports fan. That was ridiculously poor. That was awfully listless. It was a rudderless ship. And no, I do not blame the head coach. The head coach didn't miss a layup. The head coach didn't throw balls into the crowd. The head coach didn't do all the simplistic things that should have been executed fine by that crew last night. The Sixers are freaking aggravating. And I really don't know how to put it much better than that. But it's an aggravating bunch. And yes, there's the punchline of, well, Doc Rivers. Yeah, you're blaming that on Doc Rivers? Give me a freaking break. There are guys making $20, $25, $30 million a year, $10 million a year, $5 million. Are you kidding me? You're blaming the coach? In a closeout game at home, you're going to blame the coach for what you saw? They should bring in Daryl Morey should go out and get some giant mirrors, and I mean giant ones, and put them in that locker room and say, take a look at yourselves. Take a look at what you did with your season on the line, because you think game 6 is going to be a cakewalk north of the border? I wouldn't expect so. Fact is, since you went up 2-0 in the series, you've been outplayed in every game, but you lucked out by winning one of them. In miraculous fashion, you could be facing elimination on Thursday night. And thanks for screwing up the draft for us. All I'm going to say is this. When things don't make sense, when things are aggravating, it's easy to look for blame somebody else. If you're blaming the coach for how they played last night, I got to tell you, he way down the list of my suspects. Bob, I just want to tell you today, here's a smile on your face. Today's show is brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory. It's National Pretzel Day. Our friends from Philly Pretzel Factory will be by later on. Put a smile on everybody's face. Visit any Philly Pretzel Factory location today for one free pretzel. So there's something to have a little bit of a smile on your face.
Yeah, that'll bring a nugget of a smile.
Okay, what do you got?
Where do you start? You know, somebody came up to me last night when we were doing the pregame show at the arena and said, oh, you know, you called it. You said this was going to be a tough matchup. And I said, wait a minute. Don't give me credit for this. Because I thought it was going to be a tough matchup because Fred VanVleet is a really good three-point shooter, and I didn't know if the Sixers' perimeter defense could get out to him. I thought it was going to be a tough series because Scottie Barnes is kind of an all-around player, although he's been hindered with an ankle the size of a watermelon right now. I thought it was going to be a tough series because Pascal Siakam is a threat, but I thought that Joel Embiid could be able to overcome that. All the reasons I thought it was going to be a tough series haven't played out at all. They haven't, because Toronto's kind of depleted with injuries. The reason it's a tough series is because, plain and simple, the 76ers suck right now. They don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. When I called in yesterday to you guys to give my prediction, I think I said my first words were, I don't know who this team is, but I thought they were going to win last night. They have lost all identity. And we can go down player by player, and if it's because of injury or whatever, and this and that. But can you put, Jamie had a good line. The probably the player you can rely on most right now or most consistent is Tobias Harris, and I don't even know what he's really doing.
Yeah, that was the preface to my statement of I don't understand sports at all. Because Tobias Harris is a guy that I was critical of the final 2 months of the season.
And you weren't out of line.
No, team's highest paid player. Took him a while, I guess, to find his spot or whatever. He's been your most consistent player in the playoffs right now, and that's not a good thing. You have two guys that one's an MVP, a former MVP. One's a should-have-been MVP, could-have-been MVP. And the last two games, the effort from the two of them has been pathetic. I mean,
it's bad.
It's been really bad. Watching Joel Embiid let people drive by him and get easy layup after easy layup last night. I know you're hurt, man, but you have to defend. And I know there was some foul trouble, so you have to be easy. But, like, your effort wasn't there on the defensive end last night, and the team paid for it. And,
so you can't defend the lane because of your thumb.
I think it was more foul stuff last night. But somebody else has got to get down there.
Correct.
Somebody's got to shift. Somebody's got to make an effort. I mean, I saw James Harden abandon 3-point shooters probably 5 or 6 times last night that led to wide open buckets digging down low for no reason. They're just a mess. The effort wasn't there in Toronto, and it wasn't there last night in South Philly.
Pat, do you have any slightly more positive to add to this assessment or not? Yeah.
No, that was the most lifeless performance they've had since Game 7 versus Atlanta.
I agree with you.
It got to the point where in the fourth quarter I was actually laughing. There was nothing else I could do.
The nervous laugh?
No, it was I can't believe you're still chucking up threes. They would take 24 seconds running around like chickens with their heads cut off, having no idea what to do, and it was constantly the mystery box. You'd have an open shot, and it'd be like, oh, there's a guy wide open for three. Oh, there's a guy kind of open for three, and they would just pass it out. And they would miss. I think they just missed one at the start of the show. That's how bad they were. And then the Raptors would go down and get an easy two points. And it was like that they could not stop the bleeding, and they tried to by just chucking up threes left and right.
We had some assessment afterwards, the TNT crew, and so Connor was kind enough to grab this audio. And I want you to hear from all three of the analysts about what they had to say regarding this Sixers loss. I want to start with Kenny Smith, where Kenny Smith is highly critical of the Sixers. Listen to this.
I know a lot of people say the playoffs doesn't start until the other team wins on the road. I always thought the playoffs starts when a team is faced with elimination, because then you show who your true character is. And it's the hardest game in the world is the closeout game. And there's a different type of energy, there's a different type of focus, and a different type of effort that you need. Because even a team that's down 3-0, they're going to say, we can't just come in here and lay down. So those first 20 minutes are kind of like a feel out. And you got to go, okay, no. We're going to show you what this is. We're going to stay with you, and then three more games, and then that's when human nature could take over. The Philadelphia 76ers don't understand what a closeout game is right now.
Energy, they didn't understand it last year. Energy, effort, focus, he talked about. All severely lacking from the Sixers. That was a sleepwalk game from the beginning last night.
You came out,
with no energy.
You had 7 turnovers in the first 12 minutes of the game. Are you kidding me? You have an elimination game on your home floor, and you come out and you're turning the ball over in every which way. Bad passes, offensive fouls. It led to 8 points. And then you start the second quarter, and this is where I will get on Doc Rivers a little bit. He did something he hasn't been doing. He had a team on the floor that didn't include either Joel Embiid or James Harden. And he started it with Tobias Harris, George Niang, Thibault, Reed, and Maxey. And boom, Toronto goes out to an 8-0 run. Then he finally gets the starters back in there. At 8:17, they're down 10. 1 minute later, they're down 14. And it's like, why are you digging holes for yourself?
How many assistant coaches does he have?
Exactly. He has assistant coaches that very well could be head coaches next year. 2, maybe 3 of them.
And
I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
I didn't understand it.
And Matisse Thybulle's become unplayable.
He's dreadful.
And now you're losing him again, so you're yo-yoing back and forth his availability. He lost all confidence in himself. I mean, airballing a layup and a three-pointer? Dude, you can't be on the court right now. Get out of here.
I'm done with him.
I'm pretty much
ship
done.
Ship his ass out. I'm done with Australian basketball players. I don't want to see them ever take an Australian basketball player again, because somehow they find the two that just refuse to, I don't know, add
regress.
Add any offensive value to their game whatsoever. They're the same that they were coming into the NBA.
Or they're both smarter than the room. I did my own research, and I'm not going to be here for my teammates in games. This series could have been closed out if he was there. Could have already been closed out if he had played in Toronto.
Yeah, maybe.
Could very well have been.
I mean, to Kenny's...
A defensive stop in game four?
To Kenny's point, James Harden and Joel Embiid are veterans. Tobias Harris is a veteran. This is rookie BS that they're trotting out there, those efforts.
Well, here's Charles Barkley post-game talking about what he felt about the Sixers last night.
Sixers, to me, they didn't get any leadership tonight. Joel didn't give them leadership. James didn't give them leadership. If your two best players don't say, hey, let's get this thing over with, they should have did it in game four in Toronto. But when them two guys came out flat, the rest of the team just followed because they never got the crowd excited. And when you can beat at home in a closeout game, man, the crowd's ready to go crazy. But I blame Joel and I blame James because those two guys, Joel has played pretty good. James hasn't played good at all. I mean, you think about it. Who we've been talking about the whole series from the Sixers? Maxie. We bought James in to get us to the next round. And he has not delivered.
Listen to the we.
I love it.
And he uses us later, too. Like a lot of we and us. But Jamie, it plays to the point you just made. It's the two best players on your freaking team that aren't getting it done.
No.
And that includes Embiid.
Oh, absolutely.
His effort. The hound dog, slump your shoulders, look like your disinterested face because I guess his thumb's hurting him. It's just, it sucks.
And it started in
your
pregame.
Legs work. Your legs work.
I wasn't down there, but I saw a video of John Clark or somebody showing him warming up. And he wore it pregame. He wore a lack of energy. He wore his injury in pregame. He's walking around massaging the thumb, missing shots, and he was just kind of mopey from the start, and that energy transferred into the game. When your leader is mopey and playing like he's injured, it translates to everybody else.
But Bob Doc is supposed to give them some pregame speech that makes the two best players on the team, two guys who think they're going to go to the Hall of Fame one day, he's supposed to get them motivated for a closeout game at home. It's the most ridiculous point of view I've ever heard.
Yeah, I never understood, and I've said it before. I don't think in professional sports you're supposed to need that. I don't think that's a job of a
ridiculous.
Coach.
Ridiculous.
To get your team amped up to play a game? Are you kidding me? There's 20,000 people there that are paying good money to watch you play. If for no other reason, that's what you're doing it for, if you're not doing it for yourself. But I agree. The energy level was horrible. I was looking for a fast start last night, and it was funny. Devon and I talked about it. Devon wanted a fast start, meaning he wanted them to jump out to a quick lead. I wanted them to start fast, meaning that it looked like they were on their toes, and it looked like they were ready to go and ready for a game. And then they come out with a flat-footed defensive effort, and if Joel Embiid's thumb can't get hurt any worse, which is what they've come out and said, go up and block some damn shots. Yeah, it's going to hurt you then, but it's not going to hurt you worse.
Hey, dental and vision plans for everybody starting at under $8 a month at teethkeepers.com. Go to teethkeepers.com and enroll yourself today. Shaquille O'Neal, your chance to assess the debacle from last night.
There's two things you cannot have in a closeout game. A lack of focus and a lack of energy. They're playing too cool right now. If I beat a team three times, I know what I got to do to close out game. We got to do the same thing. Plus, we got to play a little bit harder. Last two games, they're playing cool. Listen, they were saying, oh, we're going back to our place. We're going to eat, you know, Philly cheese, you know, all that stuff. But they didn't come out and play hard. All the clips you show, Toronto played with force. They're going by when they're playing with force. You see guys from Philly, you see them jogging back. You see them getting the ball, taking out the top of the key. You got to play with force. And I'm with Chuck. I think they're going to get blown out. And I think it's going to be a game seven.
Not good. I mean, it was, Pat, that's pretty much, Shaq's was much more simplistic. But I don't think he was incorrect in any of it.
No.
The attitude that they took.
The energy, we're sorry, Pat, but like the energy, there was a specific play in the game where they got it to 8 or 9. The crowd started getting into it, doing the defense. Toronto, baseline alley-oop backdoor dunk.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately took the crowd out of it, and there was like four Sixers with their feet concreted to the floor just standing around watching like, what's going on? It was pathetic.
You know, it's amazing. If you turn on other playoff games also, you just see an energy level and a type of
and
play
there
that you just don't have with this Sixers team. And last night, a couple of times, Toronto made good, smart basketball teams where they cut back door and got easy laps. When was the last time you saw a Sixer do that?
The most excited I can't get over this. The most excited that that crowd got in the fourth quarter of a closeout game in the playoffs was when Thad Young had the threat of a frosty freeze-out.
Yeah, that was it.
The fact that the crowd could at least walk away with a free frosty was the only time that the team somewhat got the crowd excited, and it wasn't even their doing.
By the way, in the second quarter, Allah's like, boy, the fans really need to crank it up here a little bit. The fans feed off of the freaking team. It's not the job of Joe the plumber, Bill the radio host, and Steve the doctor sitting in the stands to get the team fired up. If you show up listless to your job that you're being paid $20, $30 million a year to do, don't expect somebody else to be the ones to get you fired up to play. It's freaking ridiculous.
Why are you looking at Coach when you say that?
No, also, another thing. We're really going to quit on 10-point games with 3.5 minutes to go?
And they did quit.
They quit.
Yeah, they did.
They stopped playing.
Yeah, they did.
I've seen some crazy things in the NBA. 10 points in 3.5 minutes is not unheard of.
I saw Steph Curry.
Reggie Miller do it.
Steph Curry and the Warriors did it the other day in Denver.
They quit.
Ended up tying the game and then losing.
They quit.
Yeah. It's National Pretzel Day. You go to any Philly Pretzel Factory location and you get one free pretzel to celebrate. Happy National Pretzel Day from Philly Pretzel Factory, the official soft pretzel of the Philly sports fan. Shaq had one more thing to say last night as he was trying to make his point at the very end of the show.
I predicted a sweep.
There would be so much pressure on the boys in Philly for a game 7.
You shot not John?
Yeah, John Kincaid, thanks.
Philly talk show host.
Yeah, guess what? Thanks. Now he's calling for a game 7. Now we're calling for game 7.
Did you see Tobias Harris's comments? Sorry, Bob.
No.
They weren't. They didn't really instill a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
They like, post-game, it was like, yeah, this is a tough one. What?
It's just listless.
I want to see somebody put it on the table.
I want to see what Spanky has to say. Spank.
Well, we already knew. Everybody was saying that this 4-5 matchup with Toronto was going to probably be the toughest. But I'm just sick of the lackluster effort all the time, man. I'm just tired of it, man. And Thibodeau got to go. I don't want no more defensive player can play defense no more. Man, he was horrible last night.
Yeah, he was dreadful. The word effort, though, is inexcusable to me. It would be like me saying to, you know, hey, Joe Bell, thanks for the contract you signed me to, but I could use you to show up in the mornings to motivate me to come to work and be inspired and get my job freaking done.
He already
it's
does that.
Absolutely. Oh, he does. Yeah, you're right.
No, he does.
He usually just says, you know, I got a cardboard box for you if you don't start showing some.
We all have motivation in different ways.
But I don't get it. I don't understand a professional having to be. People like, coach should go in there. You've watched Miracle too much. You've watched Disney movies too much. Professional athletes rarely have to have a coach come in and give them a rah-rah speech. Shaq said it many times. Pat Riley, good for the psychological speech after practice. Not before a game. What's his name? The Zen Master. I'm drawing a blank.
Phil Jackson.
Nothing. Sometimes nothing before a game.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. If you're looking for the rock, blame this on Doc. It's such a load of crap.
The hard part is he has it in his resume that he's blown a lot of these leads. So it's easy to point a finger at him. But last night was not on Doc Rivers.
Oh, my God.
That was a pathetic effort by your players and your core leadership.
And here's another thing. The narrative that Matisse Thybulle is this great defensive player, sorry, he hasn't been for about 2.5, 3 months now. And
Anthony looked at me last week like I was saying something like, Matisse isn't the same player defensively. Every defensive metric tells you that.
Yeah, and you can just see it. He's allowing guys to get past him so easy. If you watch that game again last night. Watch how many times he's on his man and his man just gets by him off the dribble. It's way too easy. It happens way too often. And then he commits stupid reach-around fouls. He's allowing his man to get by him way too easily for any kind of defender, let alone a premier defender that he's supposed to be.
All right, Will in Brookhaven joins us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry. Yeah, good morning. I'm with you, John. It's total embarrassment. You can't blame it on Doc. Like, these guys look like their feet were in molasses. Like, they're getting paid millions of dollars, and I don't want to, you know, talk about people's paycheck, but you got to get better effort. Like,
show up motivated. It's a closeout game at home. You just heard three guys who played in the NBA, in Kenny Smith, in Charles Barkley, in Shaquille O'Neal. Every single one of them telling you, blame It's Embiid and it's Harden. And they all sort of point almost more fingers at Harden because they're not as pleased with his performance. I heard Andrew was saying the other day, like, Harden was playing a great game. And I'm like, I haven't seen a great.
I thought he had a really good first three games. The last two games, I think, has been pathetic. I'll tell you what, when I rolled over this morning and got the email about the Sixers practice schedule today, I wanted to throw my phone. Because then
I thought of you too when I saw
look,
it.
I'm not look, practice is off and today's a film session only. If I'm Joel Embiid and James Harden and Tobias Harris, guys, we're getting out on the court.
Or is it what they want?
I
think it's what they want.
I mean, I don't know. Look, I understand film's a big part of this.
And, tail wags the dog
and rest is
what
key.
I'm believing.
No, you need to get back on the court.
So you're telling me James and Joel are like, man, we wish we were back on the court practicing.
No, I don't know that, but if I was them, if I was James Harden or Joel Embiid, I'd want to be out on the basketball court today.
I know, because that's the kind of competitor you are. You care.
I mean, it's Doc's call, ultimately, but this team needs to practice.
And this rim protection that's been labeled on Joel Embiid, it's ridiculous. They gave up 56 points in the paint last night and scored 26. They got outscored by 30 in the paint against a team that they're going against right now that is 6'8", 6'8", 6'8", 6'8", 6'8", 6'9", 6'5". Like, what is going on?
They ran five forwards at, like, all times last night.
They have a bunch of 6'8 athletes that go out there and are just dominating this game and doing whatever they want offensively.
All right, a lot of you are going to want to chime in. We're going to get to you. A lot more of interaction than maybe on a usual day. You need to vent. You need to get it out, even on National Pretzel Day. 610-632-0975. And wait till you hear what Joel Embiid said about his coach. It's the John Kincaid Show. Here on 97.5, The Fanatic. With Mother's Day almost here. Yes, it is now, what, 12 days away? There's still time to get the best gift for Mom. And I'm talking about the best gift with free shipping that'll arrive in time for Mother's Day. It's Steven Singer's brand new creamsicle 24-karat gold dip rose. The creamsicle rose is beautiful. It's the latest in his collection. An absolutely awesome sort of creamy peach color. You can see it exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com. And they've got an incredible selection of roses of all different colors. If you think Mom might like a different one, these things are real roses. They're dipped and trimmed in pure 24-karat gold. It's absolutely awesome. They're preserved and guaranteed to last a lifetime. Mother's Day, again, it's coming up Sunday the 8th. It's early this year. So give her a gift that she's going to cherish forever. The new Steven Singer Creamsicle 24-karat Gold Dip Rose. Go to IHateStevenSinger.com today. Fast and free shipping is yours. For Mother's Day, a free personalized love note, free lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? They start at just $59. Only available at IHateStevenSinger.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We're halfway home today. Our 8 a.m. hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. A lot of times here in the building, we will wander on over to Peter and Stan Studios. And they always have, like, great food at their show.
Mm-hmm.
They always have a great food spreads and everything. It's quite popular today, the Philly Pretzel Factory drop-off. I just saw Melissa. I haven't seen Carter yet from the Peter and Stan show.
I saw a lot of Carter last night.
Don't get on one of Carter's text chains.
Yeah.
Really? Did you see too much?
Way too much. Yeah, me, Jamie, and Carter are on a group text that's not good.
Want to be on this group
you
text.
You don't. You couldn't handle being
on this.
I don't want to be on this group text now. You've said it so much.
No, you don't.
I mean, I'll show you during the break and you'll thank me.
See that? It's the Peter and Stan show. They have a real interesting vibe around them.
Yeah.
I don't know how that Melissa puts up with them. But it's great. Thanks, Philly Pretzel Factory. Good to have you here today. We're playing golf in an event with Carter from Peter and Stan on Monday.
How are you?
Yeah, so St. Pius.
Oh, nice.
Parish in Broomall. So a golf outing. It was a little pricey. I've got to say, I don't know if they're going to, like, it was a little pricey, but I'm hoping there's going to be some great swag.
Yeah.
I mean, but it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. So is it a, I want to ask everybody about how much you are sounding the alarms this morning. And Devon Gibbons will join us for the three-pointer. Now that scared somebody driving their car.
Yeah, right?
Right now. That scared somebody right now. Okay.
I'm getting under a desk.
Pat? On a scale of a 1 to 5, how much are you sounding the alarms that this thing could totally collapse?
0.
Jamie?
I was more annoyed last night. But
you're more annoyed?
Yeah.
Okay. Jamie, I'll come back to you on that, Pat, since you gave me a 0. That it could totally collapse.
5 is full panic, right? Yeah. I'd go 2.
Okay. Bob?
Put a number to how...
1 to 5 on where you are, or 0 to 5, because, you know, Pat took a 0, on that this whole thing could collapse, they could lose the next 2.
I'll go 1.5. That's what I was thinking originally, and then I upped it.
I'm at 1.5, you were at 2. Pat was at 0, though. So, Pat, do you expect to close out Thursday night?
Yeah, well, look, I'm the guy who said they would sweep. So
I got
you're not
you.
That guy, are you?
You and Shaq both.
I've been expecting them to close out, and even, you know, if we go in the time capsule, you hear, you know, I thought they were going to hammer them. Last night, I was way more annoyed than anything, than scared. I've been in series before where they lose a game, and you're kind of terrified they could go south. I do think they're the better team, even with the injury. You know, I've constantly said it's the second round that really worries me. This matchup, not so much. But I don't think there's a shot in hell that they lose in the first round. And if they do, people need to lose their chops.
I expect to close out Thursday night. I'm expecting it, but I expected an easy game last night.
Well, my gut said there's going to be a game 7, but then this team never does kind of what I expect them to do. So I think they could close it out in Toronto.
Hey, at Whole Foods Market, you get 25% off Forager Project Light Life and Field Roast plant-based products through April 26th while supplies last. Plus, Prime members save an extra 10%. Restrictions do apply. Devon joins us in a little over 5 minutes. Adam in Germantown has been holding on. Adam, good morning. You're on the Fanatic. How are you this morning?
Great show, you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, Adam.
All right. The only thing I'm going to say is, yeah, I do expect the Sixers to probably close it out in Game 6. But... I don't expect them to beat Miami when I really expected they probably would have swept Miami if Embiid never got hurt. I really felt the Sixers were on their way, you know, to winning the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
You were thinking a parade the beginning of this?
I felt they got very lucky when Danny Green got back in the starting lineup because the Sixers increased their three-point percentage tremendously amongst the whole team, even the bench. But as it turned out, and I feel like Tybalt's a better fit off the bench.
Yeah, but, I got to tell you, Adam, not feeling that. At no point did I look at this team this year and say title team.
I didn't think title, but I did think the roadmap was laid out in front of them to make an Eastern Conference Finals run. I thought would have been a really nice step considering
how
the past couple of years have gone.
Yeah, and I don't think that's irrational at all.
And then if you get there, you know. You can say who knows, but you would have been the underdog versus Boston or Milwaukee. But, you know, strange things happen. They're not going to get past Miami from what we've seen these last 2.5 games.
They're not going to get past Toronto what we've seen these last 2.5 games.
Yeah, that's good. And caller makes a fair point.
The thought of this, that they were on pace to win 52 games before they added James Harden.
Correct.
That alone, if we would have said that at the beginning of the season or at any point in the season... Sure, that takes you directly to, Eastern Conference Finals, see what happens. The fact that they, after 5 games or against this depleted Toronto Raptors team, and you don't know what this team is at all, that's of major, major concern.
Andrew Cushman on Twitter says, no making excuses for Embiid this postseason. Every year it's something. You gotta fight through stuff. And your thumb hurting you should not affect... slumping shoulders and energy level and running up and down the court and putting in the effort.
Well, it's not an excuse, but it is an excuse, and that's why it's freaking exhausting. I mean, like...
It's not an excuse, though.
It's not an excuse
it's
for his
thumb.
Effort.
Yeah, but it's his shooting thumb. It's going to affect everything he does.
It doesn't affect your legs.
I agree with that
part. Get off the court.
But you can't say you can't give him an excuse when the guy tore a ligament in his shooting thumb. It is a natural excuse. And I hate that we're here again, but the guy's got a torn ligament in his thumb. It affects everything.
It affects your legs?
You're hung up.
Well, he won't get back.
His effort isn't good enough. I agree with that.
So there's no excuse for that.
But it's an effect from the injury. Because
Why?
Of his mentality. That's who he is. He's That's a drama terrible. Queen.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I made the point last night about defensively with Joel Embiid, and here's another point I was making earlier about how to play through an injury. All right, defensively, you can't reach with your right hand. Okay, you can't because there's the fear of it getting hurt even more. So what you do defensively is you move your legs more. You keep your defender in the middle of your body. It's almost like you go through a practice with your hands at your side and you have to work your legs to keep your defender in the middle of your body so that you're not extending your arms. But he's not doing that. Last night, he was letting guys get on his hip. He was letting guys get to the side. He was getting out of the way many times.
He got
times.
Out of the way, like, twice.
Yeah, that's
right. It's ridiculous.
Precious almost had a career game versus him. It was sad.
Brian in South Philly jumps in with us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy. We've been better, though. Gotta be honest.
Me too. listen, I'm calling. I'm not an alarmist, but I'm full panic mode 5 out of 5 right now. 5 out of 5. And this is the reason why I think so. Like, watching that game last night, there's just no leadership on this team. It is the same thing as last year. I think they're going to lose Thursday, and I think when they lose Thursday, there is no way that Toronto does not come down here with all the momentum and lose that game. And I see it happening. I was at Game 5 and Game 7 last year, and I just think there was no leadership on this.
Well, if it happens after last year's Hawks series, if this team loses, is the first team to lose in a 3-0 lead. There's something bad. There's bad juju. There's bad DNA in.
I really don't believe they will be.
I don't believe they will be either. But if we wake up Friday morning and we're talking about Game 7. On Saturday, I will absolutely believe it could happen.
When I said earlier I don't understand sports, you know.
We say that about you.
I'm sure a ton of people say that, right? But you're going to tell me that something that's never been done in the playoff history of the sport is going to be done by a team with Joel Embiid, James Harden, Tobias Harris, and Tyrese Maxey as its core?
And they're missing perhaps their best player.
And two of their top four, right?
Like, on what planet does that?
In what world?
Yeah, does that make sense?
Here's another thing.
What world?
Right. I'm convinced right now they are going to lose on Thursday night. Therefore, because in what world that you're talking about, they're probably going to win in a blowout. That's how baffling this team is right now.
You know what's not baffling? Getting answers from a more level-headed mind amongst us. He's Devon Givens.
This is the three-pointer with Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic, home of 76ers basketball.
I'm sure all the feelings were very rational last night, Devon, as you were watching that game. Or were you sounding more like us?
Yeah, I don't know how rational I was last night after that.
Well, let's get to your first shot of the morning, because I honestly don't know exactly what direction you'll go. I'm guessing on two of them, though, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right, so first, I wanted to talk about how Toronto was more of the aggressor last night. While the Sixers were only down by 2 after the first quarter, and there were some promising things to look forward to going into the second, you saw where they started to really take over. That 12-0 run to start that second quarter, for me, was my first one. And you just saw where they go scoreless, the Sixers, for those few minutes, and just look lifeless. At that point, it seemed like they got punched in the chest, punched in the gut, and they did not know how to respond. And then you get a 12-0 run, and Doc Rivers has to call the timeout. They don't get a three-pointer until it is, 41-27, I believe it was, when Danny Green hit that three-pointer. So that for me, John, it just showed right there that the aggressor, or again, when we talked about the physicality, having the first punch, Bob and I talked about it last night, getting off to a good start, fast, quick, but steady, however you want to look at it, get off to a much better start. The aggressor, the Toronto Raptors, they were not afraid. It did not matter to them that, as you guys just talked about before bringing me on, that Fred VanVleet was unavailable to play last night.
So, Devon, you bring up, it's 29-27 starting the second quarter. Doc Rivers throws out a starting lineup of Tobias Harris, Niang, Thybulle, Reed, and Maxey.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Did you have a problem with that? Because right off the bat, and he went zone, and they get out to boom, and ain't nothing run. Then he brings back Embiid. He brings that back Danny Green. Harden had come in a little bit earlier, but they still up at the 41-27. Did he make a major mistake there starting that lineup in the second quarter?
This is weird for me because I think all of you know that I can't wait to blame Doc Rivers for something. And last night, I didn't blame him as much as I saw it trending. I didn't blame him as much as a few other people in the arena talking about it post-game as most. But I did, when that lineup was out there, because we all do it, we check the lineups, I'm like, this one is interesting. Let's see how this one goes because, again, only 29-27, thinking that they're going to get off to a pretty good start. And, Bob, kind of what we talked about and what we've all talked about, putting the ball into Maxey's hands. It was his offense right there to do what he needed to do. Tobias Harris would probably be the second guy and run all of those things that you needed to do, get some shots up from George Niang and let the activity play itself out with Paul Reed. After the fact, yes, maybe with Doc Rivers in the moment, I was curious to see how it worked. Obviously, it did not.
I thought you'd address a lack of urgency at some point. I sort of take that as the energy one. So what's your second shot?
How Toronto decided to, we know that they like to get out in fast break because that's their offense. Get out in transition, get out fast break opportunities, get some points on the board. And they did that. They had fast break points last night, 24-16, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head, that the Raptors had over the Sixers. But, John, they don't really like to be in the half court set. The thing that got me, and Doc Rivers talked about it last night, I had written it down, they were so comfortable late in the shot clock as if this is just practice. I can get to wherever I want to, whenever I want to, no matter the time left on the shot clock, and I am in no rush to do anything to force a bad shot, to force a bad possession. And the Toronto Raptors slowed the pace and got a lot of shots late in the shot clock last night with no fear of anything. They did not worry, and it was amazing to sit there and watch it play out that way because, again, the Raptors like to get out in transition. Half-court set doesn't really work in their favor like we have seen for a majority of the series.
Yeah, Devon, to that point, what I saw was a bunch of the Sixers guards digging down low on doubles and abandoning three-point shooters frequently. Why?
Yeah, and luckily the Raptors weren't making them. They were 8-for-31.
But why are they abandoning?
I don't know. I don't know if it was an instinct thing. Maybe it was a game plan, defensive game plan that they wanted to do because they were missing one of their better players and one of their better 3-point shooters, daring the other guys to shoot those threes. I can't answer that one because I think we have questions for all of those things from last night. So that one got me though. Toronto was really comfortable. They seemed like, guys, they were the team that was up 3-1 and not the Sixers.
All right, now where do you go at the last visit here? What's the last? But by the way, I did not have that one, and I feel very educated on that one. I like that one.
Okay, all right. my last one, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, and it was Matisse Thybulle. He was scared last night. After 1-for-4, where he started off 1-for-4 in the first quarter, and he missed those few shots, he missed the 10-footer along the baseline. That was a really short one, but an easy one. And then the play happened in the corner, right around 10-minute mark. A fast break. Tyrese Maxey gets the ball in the right wing. Matisse Thybulle was in the right corner, as he should be. He has a shot, opportunity. He passes it up, goes to Tyrese Maxey. Maxey doesn't shoot it. He goes right back to him in a second, right back to Thybulle for a much better shot. And he doesn't shoot it. And then he throws it back to Maxey. Obviously, a fast break going the other way. Timeout, Doc Rivers. And we don't see Matisse Thybulle again for a while because he has no confidence. And with him not having confidence, he cannot be out on the floor. It affects the defense. Offensively, he's already challenged as it is. And I think, and it's funny because Dee and I were talking about it last night. She was kind enough to join me in the arena afterwards for the post game. And we were just talking about how this has to be something about the whole vaccine thing, how he's letting his team down, and everything is in his head right now. And now he cannot play in game number 6. But we had our keys to the game, our players of the game last night, who we wanted to step up.
Yeah.
Can you tell the guys who my guy was?
Yours was Thibel.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And,
didn't happen.
And, right. And the reason why was just simply because he's a body again that you can use. He has not been there for the last 2. He makes sure that you can tighten up your rotations again because of his availability. Defensively, you can use him on Trent, Siakam, and Anobi. You don't have to worry about Van Vliet. He was terrible last night.
Really was.
Yeah,
was
my guy was Maxey last night, as I said, Maxey. Devon. Yeah,
you guys shouldn't do this in game 6. You're going to mush
yeah,
him.
I just, like, that was an energy level that I thought they could follow last night because I hadn't liked their energy level, as we talked about. And I thought Maxey could maybe carry them through, pick them up a pace, but he didn't. They didn't. It was just not good.
Am I wrong that I think Maxey since game 1 has been fairly average? If that, am I missing something?
Game 2, I thought he was still good, if not really good, because in game 2, if you remember, he had the 11-point second quarter when they put the ball in his hands and they were able to turn things up right there. Game 3, he had 19 on 8 of 18 shooting, and I didn't mind it, John, just because he took 18 shots.
Okay.
And he needed somebody to take those shots, especially in a tough situation like it was in Toronto. So, he fell back down to earth. I think many of us were on a super high with that 38-point performance, everything that we saw, the 21-point quarter, all that he was doing. And, yes, he has come back down, but even still with the performances, last night wasn't great. No, last night, 5 of 14, he did get some shots up. He had a spurt, 12 points overall. But we remember a lot of impactful stuff with him, and I can remember a couple of plays, the one reverse layup that he had. The other where he went up right hand, switched left hand in the air.
It was amazing.
Tremendous. Yeah, it was a great finish. But other than that, you know, he was just out there. And after the game, this is where I will point out Doc Rivers missed on an opportunity. He says himself, Maxey didn't seem like, you know, he didn't have it and he didn't get a lot of opportunities. And Bob talked about it pregame. They don't call a lot of plays for him. Well, in that case, especially when you're struggling a bit, and I know he gave him the ball to start the second quarter, you have to call those plays for Tyrese Maxey to get loose. And he did not get loose. Left.
Okay, 1 to 5, before we let you go, 1 to 5, your feeling of anxiety that this team could cough up a 3-0 lead and lose the series. 1 to 5.
Oh, losing. I thought you were going to go with playing a game 7.
I mean, it seems like Bob's already there. He thinks that game 7's there already.
Yeah, I'll see you Saturday night.
See you Saturday night, absolutely.
Oh, jeez.
That they lose, I'm at a 4. I won't go 5 because they have 2 chances, and I will not allow myself to believe that they're going to get swept in 4 games after having a 3-0 lead. Not yet, not yet. Maybe okay. I'll change by 6 o'clock tonight, but right now, I'm not allowing myself to believe that they're going to lose 2 more and lose this series. It will get ugly if that happens.
Therapy session with Devon Givens tonight on the Fanatic.
Oh, look
so
at
get
that.
Get on it there. Be on there for it. Thanks. Thanks, Devon.
Yeah.
Get yourself a
thanks,
free pretzel
John.
Today. Then you can do that. You. There you go. Hey, National Pretzel Day at Philly Pretzel Factory. They're celebrating it. Any location, go on in, drop in, get your single free pretzel today at Philly Pretzel Factory, the official soft pretzel of the Philly sports fan. Everybody could sort of use one today.
Sure. It's a good day for it. It's a good day for it.
And I must say, it's one of the discussions that I have with it's one of the discussions I have with Vance, the guy's helping me with the co-pair, is that I find is, okay, I'm either having a lazy day where I'm rushed, or I'm having a day where I'm sort of feeling like, man, today's been just terribly overwhelming. Okay, I want fries. I want Philly Pretzel Factory. I want something like that. And getting that discipline, it's really, really hard for some of us. For some of you, it's not.
Not
it's
for not Coach. Hard you for, just down those hot dogs.
It's not hard for Bob. You have an excellent relationship with food.
Yeah, I just try a little bit. Yeah.
You got an excellent relationship.
I'm lucky because although I love it, I know not to do like sweets.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
Hey, we have a lot coming up for you in the show. Hopefully you'll stick around. I think it's smokescreen season. But some others are going to want to jump in at 610-632-0975. We're getting ready to go to Vegas for the draft. We'll be all over it here. It's the John Kincaid Show on 97.5, The Fanatic. I got a spring cleaning tip for you from H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Cleaning your house starts with cleaning the air that you breathe in your house. And you can install a new air scrubber and MicroGuard air cleanser system. It's awesome. I've got one in my house. And I can tell you, every time that I've been gone from the house and I open up the door from the garage, I can smell it. It's a freshness. It's a cleanness. And my wife and daughter both notice how they breathe differently in our home when they're here compared to being back down south. It's going to help eliminate harmful contaminants, airborne particles. It helps fight allergies and viruses. And you can get $200 off the air scrubber system when you mention John Kincaid at H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Spring allergies mean summer isn't far behind. If your AC unit was on its last legs last year, get a tune-up right now for just $99 or a discount on a new system. Find out more about H&H's indoor air quality solutions. Schedule an AC tune-up. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. It's my friends at H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. That's DelcoHVAC.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.